Hey, Merritt.
So excited to be having this conversation with you today and getting a chance to share a little bit of our experiment with the listener.
I know. I'm super excited about it.
So just for a little bit of background, Cynthia and I had this idea probably last summer, so 2017, that we wanted to test out what it would be like to do a live recorded coaching session. And the fun thing, as we've reflected back on it, is that we kind of did it without considering the repercussions. We just were like, let's do this. And we did. We jumped in, we took a baby step, and we've learned a bunch along the way. And so we're here as examples to you, the listener, and getting to share this process of talking about two different mindsets that we all have and struggle with on the broken side, and then are seeking freedom from, to kind of put ourselves over in the truth mindset as we're thinking about how we live, the decisions we make, and the things that we do with our lives. So super fun to be here with you today.
I know.
All of you.
That's right. I'm excited too. It's been a fun process. As I was reflecting today, I was thinking about how we got here, and I was just thinking, we really didn't think through any of the barriers to before we jumped in. We had this idea, actually got the idea from a friend. And I was like, Merritt, what do you think about this? And we just jumped in and said, yeah, let's do it. And we kind of tackled it just as things came up. And I thought, as a model, I'm not saying that's always the wisest route, depending on what it is, but it was really good because I think if we had thought through, you know, every single barrier, you know, we may not have done it. And so anyway, I was thinking that some of the bigger steps that I've taken in my life, I've thought through some of the big things, but just gone and done the next step. And so I was thinking about that related to your listener, and your podcast is all about women pursuing their God-shaped dream. And the reality is we get in the way. And I think this was a good example of we could have gotten in the way. And it's a good example of Lois, as we talked to her, how she was having to get out of the way in order to pursue her God-shaped dream. So I think it's super exciting, and I'm excited about the interview and just what came out of it. So.
Yeah. So to set us up a little bit, this is the first of three conversations that we're going to be sharing with you. And we're really only going to give you a chunk of each. So we talked to Lois before we ever recorded anything. And then we had a recorded first session that was an hour and 45 minutes. So we're going to spare you that and just include kind of the key chunks that would help you understand. This is just an example of a woman in the early stages of uncovering what her broken mindset is. And the truth of that is that this is kind of a painful process. And so you will hear her uncertainty and her struggles and just pieces of the wrestling that she's doing at this place in the process. And then as we go forward in the second and third, I guess, Cynthia, I'll let you talk more about kind of what's happening here in the coaching process.
Yeah.
But this is just the beginning, and there's exciting stuff to come on the other end.
Well, and I really, before I share that, I loved hearing from you, your own experience. I thought that was so powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
Yeah. So do you want me to talk about that?
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you could share that.
Yeah. So as specifically in this first session, as I was listening to Lois talk through some examples in her life, some of the, I call them like voices in her head, the things that she thinks about herself when she comes into an opportunity to do something that might feel a little bit risky, I was really relating to her. And so I guess that's what I want you as the listener to hear today. Like first, there's Lois and her examples, but you have your own life, your own examples, your own struggles that you've been through, and likely those voices in your head that tell you you're not good enough or that somebody else could do this better than you. And so I was doing that as I was listening to her, thinking about something that was coming up in my life that I was terrified about and telling myself, kind of as I'm hearing her share her own story, Why am I even doing this? Somebody else could do this better than me. And so this is such an opportunity for you to maybe not be a passive listener, but to engage with your own story and sometimes the lies that you believe or the voices that you listen to and give weight to as you make decisions stepping forward in your life. So we hope that this is not just an interesting thing for you to listen to, but something that you could take and learn in your own life as well.
That's great. Yeah. And so to set this up, coaching is about discovery, awareness, and choices. And what you're going to hear is you're going to hear Lois in the discovery process. And what she's discovering is what Merritt has termed voices. And really, those are thoughts. Okay, so we all have this, all mm-hmm. of these thoughts going in our head, in and out, from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed. And I would say that those thoughts, a lot of times, are sub, meaning under conscious. Underneath our consciousness. And they have been probably formed from early on. And so what you're hearing is Lois beginning to discover what I have come to call the broken mindset. So it's her default way of thinking. It's a way of thinking. And it's how she comes to life and to situations, into relationships. And she, in this particular interview, is beginning to uncover that. And so you'll hear her struggling and trying to articulate what she's thinking. And for you, as you're listening, it would be great for you to really be able to go, okay, what are my mindsets? What are my thoughts? Merritt, I was thinking about the passage in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. And everyone always quotes the taking every thought captive. But prior to that, Paul says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And then he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And then he says, we take every thought mm-hmm. captive. And it doesn't say take some thoughts captive. It's saying take every thought and hold it up against yes. the knowledge of God. So if we have thoughts that are driving us, that are not informed by the scriptures, by definition, they are taking us off of the course that God has for us. And so this is Lois mm-hmm. fleshing out her broken mindset. And we will get to, in the second and really mainly the third interview, we'll get to Lois's thoughts. What is her mindset of truth for how God made her, informed by the scriptures, who she is when she's operating in that fullness. And so this process is just the discovery piece. She'll begin to gain the awareness so that in the last part, she can have choices. She'll recognize, oh, I can actually choose to respond differently. Does that make sense?
Yes. So great. And you're reminding me that we have some worksheets that we want to offer the yes. listeners so that as you're thinking about this and what this looks like for figuring out your own broken mindset and moving over to a mindset of truth, that we want to give you a tool that is practical and useful to you to work through this. So we will talk about that in the closing, about how you can get access to that. But we're going to jump right in. Like I said, this is just a cut of the interview. So the transition might be a little bit awkward, but let's go over to our session one with Lois Martin.
You know, there was a group of us girls that, you know, that was kind of the group of, that we went through school together as far as friendship goes. So I'm not going to say I was an outsider and a loner, you know, all the way through. There was, we kind of had the group, you know, there's the in crowd and we weren't it, but I'm sure everybody knows about that, but mm-hmm. I don't know where I was going with that. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. You're clarifying what you were trying to clarify.
Yeah. You did have friends. You weren't all on your own.
Yeah.
You just weren't.
You know, it was that, you know, you're standing in a hallway waiting for the water fountain line and the kids are coming up to you and giving you a hard time. And I just stand there and I never said anything because I didn't mm-hmm. know what to say. And I would, mm-hmm. that's probably a recurring phrase I could use into the present day at some point. I just don't know what to say.
Uh-huh.
I get called upon and at work sometimes and I don't have an answer. Uh-huh. As an adult, I just don't know what to say. I'm like, truly, I mean, I'm not trying to be difficult. Sometimes the words aren't there. So.
Mm-hmm. Are the thoughts there?
Sometimes the thoughts are there, yeah.
So you have thoughts, but not the ability to put it into words.
Yeah.
But this is so helpful when I think about, you know, the mindset that we're talking about of what's holding you back. And I put the word on it, self-doubt, but I think the way that you said it was, I hold myself back. I'm not good enough. I feel like a child.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. I should be doing more.
Yeah. Well, I probably would say all those things. So I don't know if you're just repeating me, but.
She is.
Oh, I am. Okay. I really feel. Yeah.
Yes, it resonates. Definitely.
I was trying to take out the word self-doubt because that was really my word, but your words were, they're in the same family.
Yeah. And probably at least every 2 or 3 days, those similar thoughts are in my mind. So it's very, very present in a lot, you know, across the board. So
how has that mindset held you back?
I think it's caused me to miss opportunities. And I would say opportunities to live more externally focused than I have sometimes, even though that's been my heart to do that. The ability to do that has not always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds kind of, I know that sounds a little crazy because I'm outreach director at our church, and that's what I try to get our whole church to do,
uh-huh.
is to, you know, look outside our church walls. But you can see why I struggle with that sometimes, thinking, you know, who am I to do this? That I've struggled with it so much myself.
Yes. Now, let me ask you a question. When you say I have missed opportunities to live externally focused, do you mean, because I can struggle with self-absorption, which is just having my eyes on myself, being self-absorbed with my list, my to-dos, my me. Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying to be mission-minded? You know what I'm saying? Like to share the gospel. Can you be more specific?
When I think about being more externally, I think it's a little bit of all of it, to be honest. I think it's easy to get caught up into my own head about things. I process things to death inside my head. I have a huge imagination. I think my natural tendency, or maybe it's just more, not just me, but is to be selfish and think about how things, how I'm affected and what I need. And when I'm thinking about others, it's, you know, what do I have that can help them? What do I have that can encourage them? What do I know that can be helpful? How can I, you know, and part of the barrier there when I talk about, well, I don't know what to say, part of that is I literally don't have the words to put my thoughts into words. But part of it is, I may not know how to say it in a way that I think anybody will listen well. And okay. So I kind of have the, well, I don't know how this will come across. I don't know, you know, how this will be taken. I don't know if I can communicate this well enough. I don't know if I can be understood. And when I have all those questions in my head, I usually err on the safe side, unless it's a very close relationship. And I zip it, you know, I hold my tongue and I wait for somebody else to say it that can say it better.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I feel like there's definitely been missed opportunities to really help people grow,
mm-hmm.
and be encouraged in their own walk.
That's huge, because what I hear you saying is, whether I'm one-on-one or in a little small group or whatever, I get into a situation and I think, oh, you know, I'm listening to the Spirit and the Lord's prompting me to say, to encourage, to pray, to whatever, mm-hmm. for this person. And all of a sudden, I'm going to call it your default mindset. This default mindset that I have from early starts, I start hearing these things. I don't know if I can translate what I'm thinking into words. I don't know if what I'm going to say, they'll take it the right way. I don't know how they're going to perceive me. So then all of a sudden you, and I'm quoting now, zip it.
Yeah, I think that that's probably a good summary of that.
So what happens is I'm in relationship and all of a sudden, this thing that I've learned to get outside, and I'm going to start talking like in terms of you know, when you're walking in the Spirit and you're listening to the Lord and you're thinking about other people and you're doing the things that the scriptures, they command us to do, but there's supernatural power in them.
Right.
You're walking in this way of being, which is keep in step with the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, this old default mindset crops up and shuts you down and becomes a barrier for you being who God's called you to be today at 44.
I would say that's the temptation for sure. And so I'm not going to say that happens every time. I think there are definitely, you know, more times than I can count that I have seen, I don't know how else to put it, but God's assistance to move on, press through. And I have definitely seen, you know, the Holy Spirit take situations where I was, you know, floundering, where I was, you know, expressing myself maybe poorly, where I was trying to be obedient. I've seen him use those situations. That's what gives me kind of the strength to keep moving forward with it.
Yes.
When I, you know, and the more that happens, you know, the more likely I am to trust him on the next time and to say, oh, yes, that's the Spirit speaking.
Yes.
I need to do something here. You think after a while it wouldn't be any issue at all, but it still is.
Well, I know. I mean, I don't think that at all, because I think that is our battle. I think your battle that you're having is the same that I have and that Merritt has and that everyone has, is that we all have a default mindset. We all have a way that we learn to navigate the world growing up, period. It's this way of operating that's so natural to us that we don't really think about it. Now, you've worked out of a lot of yours, and we all, if we have the Spirit, we begin to live differently. We listen to the Spirit, and we begin to operate differently. But what I love, and this is what I'm finding in coaching, is that there's this two mindsets. It's like, one is the Spirit over here, where you know what that is. You're clear that there are times when you're in that and you're obedient and you're walking in trust and faith. And then there are times when you're in that old mindset, the old man, this old way of being, this default. Mm-hmm. And so I think our job is to help you get really clear on the default mindset. The way I say it is what it looks like, feels like, smells like, tastes like. And to be so clear that in the moment, you're not in it for an hour. You're in a moment, you're like, oh, I'm right there. I recognize this. Mm-hmm. And then figuring out how to go, okay, what are the things that trigger you there? And then what are the things that trigger you back over into the mindset of the Spirit? Does that make sense? And so it's really helping you go, okay, because I mean, the other day I was driving to Tyler, and I went from being happy and joyful to 12 hours later being, you know, all kinds of mad about whatever. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I recognize this. And I was able to go, okay, what are the things that trigger me back into walking in the Spirit, in that mindset?
Yeah.
And I was able to practice a few of those, which, by the way, a lot of them are small steps that God gives supernatural power to his commands. Mm-hmm. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. You know, and so anyway, we'll get into more of that in part three, because that's where we're headed. And today is really about building out this mindset that is the barrier to where you're trying to go.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Merritt, weigh in here.
Yeah. No, I love it. I loved your description. Looks like, feels like, smells like, tastes like. I feel like I can be there.
Yes.
And that's the point.
Yes.
Right?
And that's the thing, is I think it's about helping people to be able to have clarity and recognize in the moment. Like, you know, for me, it's like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I'm feeling anxious and fearful, or I feel like I'm obsessing about a conversation, or I'm overly focused on this one thing and obsessing about it. And it's like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that is my default way. And so when I can grasp that, then it's just helpful. It's like, okay, that's it. So now all I have to do is figure out what are the things I need to do to get back over into the river of life, as we call it.
So these are just tools.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I would say one of the things that I feel like God's been showing me, because I've been praying that he would help me to come up with a method being able to help people. And I feel like he keeps confirming that I've given you these commands. And what we don't understand is there's supernatural power when we obey, to literally to give thanks in a moment where, you know, in The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom's sister Betsy thanks God for the fleas, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. She finds out later that the fleas kept the guards out so that they could share the gospel. And it's like to be able to, and this is what, for every person, it will be different, but what are these? For me, one of them is to stop in the moment and to say, Lord, thank you for the fleas. Thank you that this is an opportunity. I don't know how. I can't see it, but thank you for it. And I'm going to just, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to do these things. And so that's going to be part of this process, is helping Lois and whoever else wants to go along the journey go, okay, what are these things that will help me trigger me back over into this place of walking with the Spirit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're tools, but I'm like, these are just God's tools. Yeah. I don't want to take credit for those, obviously. Okay. So I think I want to just, if it's okay, unless y'all have another idea, I kind of want to continue fleshing out this mindset. And then also you listed a bunch of things and I didn't get them all down, but then also what the triggers are that trigger you into it.
Okay.
What I was hearing that I thought was really significant, because you even called it a mindset, I think. You said one of the barriers is that I get into that situation and I'm going to say something and I stop and I'm like, someone else can say it better.
Yeah.
I don't know if they will receive it. I'll just hold my tongue and zip it and wait for someone else who can articulate it better.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of that idea of likely somebody else is going to be able to do it better than I can. And I know that's not true all the time. I know there's times that I'm an okay person for the job, because that's where I am, and that's the opportunity in front of me, and that's the door God's opened. But, you know, for example, I'm in a leadership role now at church, and, you know, there was a time I wouldn't have viewed myself as a leader, you know, simply because I think someone else can lead it better. You know, I had to come to the place where I would say, you know, I've got things to say. And I've got ideas and I want to make things happen, and it's okay to be here and it's okay to be in this place and do these things. But it was a mindset shift, even to be able to move in that direction, quite willing to be a follower forever. I mean, I didn't really have it in my mind that I would do anything more. And so I don't know if you were you asking about triggers or what kind of circumstances was that?
Well, we can talk about that. But one of the things I was going to ask you is, you said somebody else can do it better. And I just want to understand, what's that belief there? If someone else can do it better, then I can't, then I'm not allowed to do it.
I like things done well. Let them do it, I guess, is the default mindset.
Okay. So if someone else can do it better, then I should let them do it.
Yeah. Because it'll turn out better.
Right. But if that were the case, if I can just take a second to speak a little truth into that, none of us would be doing anything.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
right. Yeah. I'm not saying it's the right way to think, but I'm saying it would be one of my defaults.
It is one of your defaults. Yes. If someone else can do it better, then I should let them.
Yeah.
And so what is more true there?
I would say that God can use anybody.
Yes. That's great. It's a great truth.
Well, I know that in my head, and I know it in practice, it doesn't always carry out in my actions.
Okay. So what's the barrier there?
I think how I view myself.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that again?
How I view myself.
Which is?
Well, there's a lot of answers to that, but
in that situation where someone else can do it better, how are you viewing yourself?
I guess somewhat incompetent. That sounds really bad to say out loud, but
it's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay. What are you afraid of?
Not doing the job well. And by job, I don't necessarily mean my paid job, but just what's in front of me. Not being able to do it well, not taking full advantage of the opportunities. In other words, you know, could perhaps something more be accomplished than what's happening?
What can you elaborate on that? Because that's come up a couple of times.
What's that?
You're saying I'm afraid if there's an opportunity, if I step into it, somehow we're going to miss out on something bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone else could have done it better.
Yeah.
Can you, I don't know, just talk around that.
Well, I mean, a really extreme example, which would not be something I aspire to, but, you know, let's say for an example, you know, we have several gifted teachers at our church, our pastors, that are very skilled at teaching the word, you know, and they get up in front of everybody week in, week out, and do a great job of illustrating and teaching the word. That would not be something that, if I were the one to be standing up in front of the congregation saying, here's the word of God, I'm going to teach it to you, I feel like people wouldn't get it because there'd be such a big barrier gap in my communication skills to be able to expound on that. Now, I say that saying I'm not going to aspire to be a preacher. I'm just picking a random illustration of here's somebody that's really good at that. I wouldn't be good at that. I'm not going to try to do that.
But if someone came to you for like a one-on-one conversation, mm-hmm. just for some spiritual help or whatever, yeah. or looking into scripture, is there a thought process of, well, I could do that, but so-and-so would be better at it, so I'll point you to her.
I don't think that's as much of my mindset these days.
Okay.
I would say one-on-one.
So
I'd
it's not so much the
it.
One-on-one.
Yeah.
Okay. So one-on-one is not a trigger.
I would say not now. No.
So then are some of the opportunities that you're talking about, are they're bigger than one-on-one?
Yes. Because there's some desires that, you know, kind of sit on the, you know, the back burner of my brain, so to speak, that think, you know, I could potentially do this or do that. Could someday. I feel like that's possible with God's help. Maybe I could.
Teach at a retreat or something like that?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Teach a Bible study.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've done that. So.
Okay.
I'm doing that now, doing small groups. So that was a huge, huge step for me to jump into that.
Yeah.
With my very first one, I had nobody to. I just said, I think I need to try this, and I did it, and I loved it. But it's a pretty big wall to go over. Once I did it, I'm like, I love this. This is great. Even though it was hard, it was hard, and it's always hard. And I'm doing one I just started a group last week, and it's easier than the one from 3 years ago. But there's still some hard things to it.
And I'm going to want to come back to that, not today, but later, like that piece. So, and that's what I was saying, is that you have that mindset. You know what it is to step into that. And so we need to flesh that out too. So I'm putting a little bookmark on that in my brain and on my notes so that we can come back and explore that place.
Yeah. I mean, I had to do that. That goes all the way back to seventh grade when I, you know, had to start forcing myself out of the shyness to say, I don't want to live like this the rest of my life. Well, I got to do something about it.
Uh-huh.
And it was extremely hard at that point. Very, you know, to have those conversations with people or to, you know, whatever it was, I don't really remember. I just remember that being the year that I said, I'm not going to do this.
Yes.
The rest of my life. And I had the example of someone in my life that was much, much older than me. And, you know, I looked at them and I said, I don't think I want that to be me. And I recognized something familiar there. It did start early, starting to see that there's another way possible. So,
yes. You have been, by the definition of courage, which I think is something like stepping into the fear. It's not having fear. You've been living a real courageous life since the seventh grade. And I'm sure before that too, but a defining year was, I'm going to step into these fears.
Yeah. I don't know. I think in a way it maybe helps keep me a little more grounded sometimes when I know this is where I would be without the grace of God. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be inside of myself, you know, judgmental, critical, selfish, whatever additional default things are there, fearful. Mm-hmm. You know I'd be there if it weren't for him.
Well, that's awesome. And what I love is that you have a lot of practice doing this, stepping out of the old way of thinking and into, you know, really, I mean, it's the mindset of the Spirit. I mean, you're talking about stepping into your gifts, stepping into what God's calling you to do, stepping into obedience, stepping into your wiring and desires that he's given you.
Yeah, that'd be my desire moving forward even to do that. So yeah, you can have all this experience and then, you know, as we mentioned earlier, it still hits you sometimes. It's not the same level of struggle or the same type of struggle as when I was 12. It's a different, you know, it looks different now, in, you know, with more maturity. But even with all the evidence of what God can do and what he has done, I still, like I said, every other day I'm going, what am I doing?
Right. Well, yeah, because you're in a battle, you know, and the battle is to destroy. That's what the scriptures tell us, that, you know, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And it gives four different explanations of who it is against, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm that put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And he has come to rob and destroy and kill. And so I really do take it very seriously that what's keeping you from it, is your own self-doubt. It's factors out of your control, factors in your control. And then also that the enemy does not want you to be all that God's called you to be also. So you are in a battle. And I do think that's one of the things that I'm realizing is that we are in a battle to keep in step with the Spirit, to walk with God, to trust God. And Merritt and I have talked about, I mean, her mission and ministry is to help people move toward their God-shaped dream. And, you know, the enemy does stand in the way of that. He doesn't want that. And I do think that's a part of this battle. You know, I don't want to say it's all of it, but he certainly, his influence is there.
Well, here's a, I guess, a little bit of a question. You know, wondering if tying into the self-doubt is kind of sometimes a need for affirmation. And I don't know that I would have called that out in myself all the time as far as self-awareness of it. But if I think about it, there's probably a little bit of that in there too. So if you don't get the affirmation, the doubt's there.
Yes. And so it's, whose affirmation do you need?
I think people that I know that I would trust, you know, I would include my husband in that. I would include, you know, couple of close friends that would include my pastors and leaders here.
And what would you need them to say?
That's a hard question. It's hard for me to even say, I need somebody to say this or do this.
I understand wholeheartedly. It's a hard thing to admit.
Yeah, that's hard. I think the affirmation of these are the gifts I see in you, and I'm behind you. Mm-hmm. And I think you could be good at, you know, whatever. Now, and I will put a caveat here that people do say those kind of things to me from time to time. So it's not like there's nobody trying to encourage me in my life.
Right.
I have several people that, you know, that will speak pretty strongly to me, but it's recurring in a way. Like if, you know, you hear something once and then you never hear it again. You're like, but I'm doing different things now. Is this any good? You know?
Right. Yeah. And so what's that thing that you haven't heard enough?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Oh my gosh. I have a victory sign with my arms right now. That actually means that I'm doing a good job. And this is the first time you said it. So, okay.
Because we're getting somewhere to get to a place that you don't know the answer. That's awesome. That's what coaching is supposed to be about. So, yeah, so let's just sit there and let you think if that's okay.
Okay. What am I thinking about?
You're thinking about what have you not heard enough of? When you think about the things you're trying to move toward.
Sometimes I feel like I don't know if I'm any good at something unless I hear it from somewhere else. Or I see it somewhere else, or I hate comparison, but sometimes I see that comparison helps me place where I'm at. And I don't like that, but it happens.
What, can you give me an example?
I think an example could be one of my, outside of my job interest right now, which is photography. And I'm self-taught in photography. I've never taken a class. We bought a digital camera a few years back. I picked it up and I said, I love this. And I was really bad at it. I was really bad at it for a while. I kept doing it. And I got to the point where my friends started saying, hey, I love your pictures that you're posting. And I kept doing it and I kept doing it. And long story short, I'm at the place where, you know, in 2 weeks, I'm launching my own photography business on the side. And I'm really only doing it because I have some very influential friends. And I say influential is that they've really influenced me in this direction.
They talked you into it?
Yeah, pretty much. And, well, I mean, I love to share my stuff. And so, you know, it's personal to me what I take. And I love to share it. And so, you know, I'm not going to say I was kicking and screaming. But, you know, I'm going to be at a local show here in a couple of weeks. And the only reason I'm doing it is because my friends, I happened to say a year ago, hey, if you do this next year, wouldn't it be fun? Maybe I could do that. I could have a booth. I was kind of just throwing it out there very lightheadedly. And she asked me a couple months ago and said, you're going to be at my show. And I was like, oh, I'm not ready for that. So, you know, so I'm moving forward with it, but, you know, I'm looking as I grow in my photography, I'm looking at it with a more and more critical eye. And so I guess maybe the better I get, the more critical I am of past things. And what I once thought was good is not good anymore. And I suddenly am faced with a choice of I've got to come up with a certain number of pictures to print to have available. And, you know, all of a sudden I only have like 3 or 4 things. I'm like, where'd all my good choices go? All of a sudden, so I moved forward with it. I picked them out. But every day or so for the last 6 weeks, I'm going, what am I doing with this? I'm going to put stuff out there. I'm going to put it out there. People aren't going to like it. It's not going to be what they expect. Have all these people saying, oh, we're so excited for you to, I think I'll be one of your customers. And in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, until you see my pictures. Mm-hmm. And so people can tell me, you know, I have people come up to me at church or, you know, wherever, events, saying, oh, I love those pictures you posted on Facebook the other day. You just have such an eye for this. Like, I'm hearing the good things, but I'm thinking in my head, yeah, but. And, you know, because I'm being so critical of my own stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm moving forward with it. And to a lot of people, I'm trying to really hold that positive attitude. This is going to be great. It's going to be fun, which I really think is going to be fun because, hey, I'm going to see a lot of my friends. Mm-hmm. I'm trying something I haven't tried before. This is an adventure. But, you know, we're investing in this, you know, time, energy, you know, finances with some of it. And I'm going, this could be a bust because I'm putting stuff out there for display that I'm not 100% happy with. It's not as good as I thought it was at one point.
So you're comparing your today work to your, I was just starting out or I was just a few months into it or.
Yeah. Even last month. Yeah. Work. I'm looking past, and that's one of the reasons I've taken this long to get to the point of, hey, yeah, I'm willing to sell stuff, even though people were asking me this 2 or 3 years ago. I said, I'm not there yet. You know, there's some things I need to cross those bridges first. I need to learn better editing skills. I need to, you know, this and that. But I move forward on that stuff. And so I didn't have any more excuses. you know, and I said, well, I've got to try to listen to people around me that maybe see something that I'm not seeing. And so that's one of my stretch things right now is trying to really listen. And when somebody says you're good at this, to take it for what it is and not say, well, that's easy to me. This is, you know, or whatever. I don't know. But
yeah, but is your phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you don't know. Yeah, but wait till you see it. Yeah, but it's not any good. I don't know what I'm doing. You're not going to like it. I'm not going to meet your expectations. Wait till you see the pictures.
Yeah.
That's your default mindset. Another way of saying it is your internal dialogue.
Right. Whether I'm putting into words or not, this is just the.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I was trying to say earlier, Lois, just so you know, you're not alone. We all have an internal dialogue.
Thank you all so much for listening in with us in this session one of coaching on the Devoted Dreamers podcast. I'm back with Cynthia Culver, and we're going to do a quick little wrap up. So first, Cynthia, can you walk us through the homework that the listener can spend some time on to kind of go through that same process that you just went through a little bit with Lois?
Yes, absolutely. So the process that Lois has been in, really one of the things that she was doing that I would highly recommend is to journal. And I'm going to be specific on how to journal. And I think writing down your thoughts in the morning is a great way to kind of capture that internal dialogue, those internal thoughts that you have that you're not aware of. That's what we're trying to understand, because in this, we're trying, and as you just listened to with Lois, we're trying to help her uncover her broken mindset, meaning the way that she came to operate or navigate life from a young age. So she's got a lot of thoughts in there. And so do you as a listener. And so it's really about uncovering, what is my broken mindset? What are my thoughts? What are my feelings? What are my actions or choices when I'm in that place?
Awesome. Okay. So step one, get up in the morning and write down your thoughts. And then step two.
Yes.
Is a worksheet?
Yes, yes. It's called the Broken Mindset Worksheet, and it's really just a tool for you to capture what those thoughts are. So there are two sheets. The first sheet has thoughts, beliefs, choices, big picture, places for you to write those things. And then the next sheet has big picture and then feelings. And at the bottom, it has triggers. So what are the things that trigger you into this mindset? And then you get a little creative opportunity to kind of paint the picture of what that girl looks like. What is she like when she's operating in that way? Like, my little person has a frowny face on, and she's stressed out and frantic. And so, when I get overwhelmed, that's where I go. And I go into my broken mindset. And so, yeah, those two sheets would help you start beginning to see your own broken mindset and how that's in the way of where you're trying to go.
That's so great. Okay, so you can get a copy of the Broken Mindset Worksheet on my website, meritansa.com/coaching-interview. So head over there, drop in your email address, and we'll get that to you pretty quick in an email. And you can spend some time trying to figure out your own broken mindset and what is kind of keeping you from moving forward in your God-shaped dream. And then Cynthia, tell us about where we're going in session two.
Yeah, in session two. So session one was the discovery piece, which is discovering the broken mindset. And session two is going to be direction. And what I mean by that is, you know, what has God put in your heart to co-create with Him? What has He gifted you to do? And really helping, and specifically here, Lois, envision what she wants for her life and what God has put in her heart to bring into the world, I think, as you say.
That's awesome. Okay, great. So lots to look forward to. I can't give you an exact date as to when session two and session three are going to drop into your app, but if you are subscribed to the podcast, those will show up for you when they're ready. And exciting stuff to come. We'll get to see Lois continue to process and learn from God and see what happens there. And if you are kind of mulling over some of the stuff from this conversation, we'd love to see you over in the Devoted Dreamers Facebook group. So come find us there and let's chat about what you're wrestling through and the things that God's showing you. But until next time, thanks so much for being here. We're so happy to have been able to share some of this, and we hope it's been helpful for you. Thanks and have a great day.